We're going to talk about God's call gifts and the equipping the saints. God's call gifts and equipping the saints. Yeah, just conversing with a brother this week again, and just reminded, I think I need to do a teaching on this. I'm not sure if I did a teaching on Ephesians 4:12 particularly, but this is one of the passages that I really enjoy. In fact, this was one of the passages that I used in answering one of my ordination questions. What is the role of a pastor and servants of God? You know, and so I quoted Ephesians 4:12, and says it very clearly here what the purpose of the servants of God in the church and pastor's role is. It says here, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building of the body until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Christ, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so it's pretty clear in this passage what the role of leaders in the church who has the gifts of apostleship, prophet, evangelist, and pastors and teachers. So many believe that the last one, pastors are also teachers. So they put that as one gift. So what is the role of the leaders who are most of these roles nowadays are full-time leaders, full-time who's being supported by the church, or you're a missionary, you're fully supported. So what is the role of these leaders who has gifts of apostleship, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, who has the office? Actually, this is both gifts and office. It's a kind of a leadership office that God or Jesus ordained so that they would lead the church. But what is their function? Very clear function is to equip the saints for the work of service. So it's not for the pastors and teachers to be the only one to take care of people. Or it's not only the evangelists who are gifted in evangelism, who are supported as evangelists, are the one to evangelize to the lost. It's not only for prophets to go declaring the word of God and, you know, just speaking the truth and even rebuking the lost and even the believers. You know, prophets are, you know, rebukers in a way. You have sinned. You need to turn back to God. And apostles who goes to new places, pioneers. Apostle essentially does all of these things. They do the work of prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They pioneer, they establish leaders, they train, equip. And so it's not only people who are gifted in this way, who has this role, are the only one who should be doing this. But people with these gifts, leaders with these gifts, are supposed to equip the saints, members of the church, everyone else to do the work of service. Work of service. So that not only would they be the only one doing the work of service, but equipping the congregation, equipping the believers, the new believers to grow, the older believers to be equipped so that they too can do the work of service together with the leaders. And so I wanted to share this because I'm not sure if I've given a good teaching on the perspective of calling gifts and how these people with calling and gifts are to function as an equipper. So the first point that I wanted to start with is, they are given these gifts for equipping of the saints. First, I said for the work of service, and we're going to talk about that in the next point more in detail. But also equipping the saints to do the work of service to, and there's greater purpose, to the building up of the body. So the body of Christ, which is the church, those who believe in Christ. And along with the leadership, along with the people who are being equipped, together we want to do the work of service, but the work is to building up the body of Christ. So within the body, and also increasing the body. So it's not only within the body, in reach, but also outreach. So, and then further to until we attain to the unity of faith. Because as you know, that in the body of Christ, and people might have different ideas and theories or doctrines even. And in fact, because there's some people who were Christians who had a different doctrine, they went off to be cults. A lot of the cults in Korea came from people who were in the church, but they kind of developed their own doctrine. But not everyone agrees, right? But those who accept Jesus Christ come into the kingdom of God, at least is now part of the kingdom. But also inside the kingdom, we need to continue to submit to the king. So there's a kingdom work. So Jesus was recruiting in Luke 9 and 10, of people going out actually to proclaim the gospel. So definitely there's an internal kingdom service work to be done, but there's an expansion of the kingdom work. So the service, the work of service, Jesus is talking about, or Paul is talking about, is about the kingdom work of service. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, also, Paul talks about constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, talks about work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. So this could be also the work of service is a kingdom work of service, and more of the specific is the work of faith, work of love, work of steadfastness, so putting our hope in Christ, of his coming. And so, and that could be defined in many specific ways in the kingdom and in expanding the kingdom. And John 6:29 says, Jesus answered to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So the work that Jesus really wanted them to do. What is the work of God that we may do them? And say, work of God is this, that you believe in Christ. Work of believing. And so encouraging and inviting people to believe in Christ. And John 4:34 says, the disciples came with food, and he says, I have food that you don't know about. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to accomplish his work." Accomplish his work is to do his will. So whatever Christ called us to do, or God calls us to do, and as Christ came to do his will, to accomplish his work, that is what we are to do. So the point of this is, the leadership team with the gift and the office and the whole church are called together to accomplish his calling. And to a large degree, this is about proclaiming the gospel, making disciples, and establishing the church. So increasing the church, but also strengthening the church. So this is the bigger picture of our calling as a whole church, as a body of Christ, to participate in the kingdom work and building up of the church. So there will always proclaim the gospel. There will be always a call to make disciples. There will be always a call to love the church, increase the kingdom, and build up the kingdom. Just very clear as we look at what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and save the lost and establish church on earth. So with this purpose of his calling, then he gave people gifts. Ephesians 11 said Christ gave, actually other versions have different things, but in this version it says Christ gave gifts to men, and then he said he gave some to be apostles. Christ gave gifts to men. So he gave gifts to people so that with these gifts, that we can build up the kingdom, you know, expand the kingdom. We can build up the church. We can expand the church. And so we can work together as one body to strengthen the church and the body of Christ. So what are some gifts that's mentioned? Of course, Ephesians 4:1 says, so Christ himself gave some of them apostles to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some evangelists, pastor, and teacher. We talked about that. But there's other passages. Romans 12, 6 through 9 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serving. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. It is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So there's some more gifts here. And not only the leadership gifts, there's a gift of prophesying, it's mentioned above. Prophecy and faith, there's gift of faith, and there's more gift of serving. If you enjoy serving people, just the point of this passage is whatever gift you have, do it wholeheartedly. Use it wholeheartedly for the benefit of the body. And in fact, if you have any gifts, gifts are always for the purpose of serving the body. If you don't use it, then it's going to decline. Even in natural gifts, if you have ability to play piano or some musical talent, if you don't use your talents and practice, you know, it just kind of becomes dormant and diminishes. But if you use it, then it will increase. So God could have given us, I mean, he gave us natural gifts, but he definitely gave us spiritual gifts. If he has given us certain gifts, then it was meant to be used. But use it wholeheartedly. More you use it wholeheartedly for the love of people and love for the church, it will increase. And it would, of course, benefit the church. So service, if it's teaching, in your teaching, encouragement, use your encouragement. We could use a lot of encouraging gifts. Do it wholeheartedly. Giving, in your generosity. You know, if you know anybody with the gift of giving, just hang around them. You could reap the benefit of their giving. I think I kind of have that. But anyway, so if you hang around me, you might benefit a little bit. Binoculars, everybody gets a binocular. They just get, So whatever gifts, use it. There's some more gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. To the one there is a given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. There's internal spiritual gifts of wisdom. Another gift of knowledge. Another gift of healing. And to another, miraculous power, prophecy, another, distinguishing the spirit. These are more like internal spiritual empowerment gift, discernment gift. Another, different kinds of tongue, another interpretation of tongue. And maybe one day we'll talk about tongues too. But these are varieties of gift, and there's probably more, and it could border into from spiritual gifts to natural gifts. People have natural gifts as well. So if you've been given even natural gifts, use it wholeheartedly for the benefit of the church, to love one another. So God gave gifts to the leaders who are in a office of leadership to equip the saint for his calling for the church. And he gave, to accomplish that calling, gifts such as these and many more other abilities. So gifts are given to accomplish the calling. But to accomplish the calling, he also gave leadership gifts and offices so that the leaders can equip us to accomplish the calling better. So with those things said, I just want to go through some wisdom for the road. Wisdom for the road. And so what are we to do? Knowing that God has given us leaders to equip us to for the work of service, and He has given us a calling, and He has given us a gift. Okay, so first thing is just remember that gifts are for God's calling to build up the church individually and corporately, I added. Particularly because, did I put that up there? Oh, is it up there? Okay, individually and corporately. And so I wanted to point out individually and corporately. So God gave us gifts and calling to individually accomplish His task, to do the work of the kingdom, to go and preach the gospel, lead people to Christ, and make disciples. There's an individual calling. But this is not only individual, but it's a corporate calling. So you, even though we train people how to evangelize and do a lot of, we've done a lot of co-contact evangelism, we are also up for relation evangelism. You know, if somebody said we're all about co-contact, I would say, not completely. Even our VSET is half co-contact and half what? Teaching English, right? Teaching English is relational evangelism. So we're about both. And we always say, when love is felt, message is heard. We always talk about, spend the first week in love ministry. Don't just preach the gospel soon as you start teaching. Some have done that, you know. We want to make sure that there's a love relationship established before the gospel is preached. So we're about both. But there is a individual calling for us to share our faith and to go make disciples. But there is a corporate aspect, like in a VSET program, we have a team of 6 to 7 people who is teaching English together. So we're all using our gifts and abilities to create a community to welcome the students. So it's never, evangelism or discipleship is never individual alone. It's never an individual calling alone. There is an individual aspect, but there is a corporate aspect. So even for myself, I was telling somebody, I could be evangelizing, leading people to Christ and discipling them myself, but if I'm the only one relating with them, sooner or later they're going to fall away. Because my gift alone is not enough. So I you know, invited like, what is it, Bing Chen, Kevin, Kaushik. But soon as, you know, I want to invite them to know you other people. Because if they only know me, Pastor Min, oh, he's an evangelist, apostle, he's like, you know, bold in evangelizing and great, I'm a nice guy. But they wouldn't feel the warmth of, like, I don't know, who's really warm here? Maybe Jack is more on the warmer side. They'll never feel the pastoral gift of Pastor John. I'm an apostle, but Pastor John's really a pastor, right? So there's a different gift in this I need to be a part of so that the whole body will disciple Bing Chen and Kevin and Kaushik and so on. So gifts, other gifts, whether it be small or big, is all necessary to do the work of evangelism corporately as well. Discipleship corporately as well. So, you know, when somebody leaves our ministry, it could be a leader, but leader is more prominent, so you could feel it. But even somebody who's not a leader who leaves, I could always feel something is missing. When somebody leaves, there's even a little glimmer of something missing, a loss, sense of loss. Why? Because they played a part, even their presence in the body of Christ, in our community, contributed. Them not being there, there's a sense of loss. So we can't take this lightly. Each person has, whether a prominent upfront gift or a lesser visible gift, but even their presence of who they are in the body of Christ, in the church, is a contribution to the whole. And if they too use their gift to contribute to the body, it is completing, growing maturely as a body of Christ. It is building up the body. So the point that I wanted to make here is that his calling with the gift is accomplished through individual responsibility. We need to go individually, go preach the gospel or make disciples or, you know, build up the church. But there's a corporateness about this thing. Corporate. We need to use everyone's gift to evangelize, to make disciples, to build up the body. Everybody's gift is necessary. So what I would like to suggest is go use it. Whatever gift you have, I should make this another point, but I'm going to put it under number one. Whatever the gift you have, use it. Use it wholeheartedly, just like Romans says. Use it wholeheartedly for God's glory. God's glory. And actually, to grow your gifts and to benefit the church. But do it for God's glory. So definitely not for, I want to look better. I want to be recognized by other people. No, it's not for our glory. It's for glory of God. And so sometimes we could say, if I'm not recognized, I don't want to do it. No, that's a kind of a young person's mentality. If I'm not recognized, I won't do it. No, you want to do what gifts, ability you have, whatever God gave you, it was meant to be used wholeheartedly for the benefit of the body. Go use it and make sure it's not about you. It's about God. Doing it, using it for God's glory. Secondly, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Romans 12:3. Before all the gifts are mentioned, it says, each of you have been given a certain grace. God has given each of us certain grace. And don't think of yourself highly, thinking like you have something that maybe God may not have gifted you. You know, I want to do this upfront gift, more upfront gift, because I want to be recognized. But perhaps maybe God did not mean that for you. And, I don't know. There's a mercy gift. There's a serving gift. I think we can all do some of that. But we might need to be more sober about who we are. So, like I just said, I could very clearly say, I don't have a shepherding gift or pastor gift as much as Pastor John. But I will shepherd, pastor, best I can for my giftedness, how God made me. So we need to look at ourselves more soberly. Okay, what can I do efficiently and healthy and effectively, and what is not my forte, but I try. I try to do everything. There's nothing that I wouldn't try to do if it serves the purpose, if it serves the body. And that's my mindset from way before, and I'll share it to you more about that. So it's we need to be sober of my giftedness or my strength. It doesn't mean you should only do things related to your gift, but just thinking of yourself more soberly. And I think that's humility. You need to be humble to say, this is more who I am. And normally, certain giftedness with this strength may come with weaknesses too, even recognizing that there's a weakness in certain gifts. But if there is a weakness, that is to be supplemented by other gifts. So that's why we need to recognize other gifts. So being more humble and sober about how God made me is a good thing to start with. And you could pray to God, God, would you give me clarity of how you made me? Not that I'm just going to do that only, but just help me to assess humbly. And also, when you do this, it might keep you from being competitive. It might keep you from being competitive. Because if I want some giftedness that I may not have been made for, and I just want that because somebody else has that, they're being recognized and I'm not being recognized. So I want every gift just because I want to be recognized and become competitive. You know, that could be a cause of not soberly, judging yourself in the sight of the Lord. You know, how did God make me? I should discover my gifts so that I could, increase in that. And I could learn from other gifts too. But, in discovering gifts, I'll just make a side comment, is, like I said, if you use it, you will grow in it. If you keep on using it wholeheartedly, then you'll grow in that gift. And the way to find out is asking other people. What do you think I'm gifted in? What do you think I'm strong in? And so I myself really did not know what my gift was until 30. Did you know that? Until 30, I just did a little bit of everything. I even made t-shirts, guys. You know, you guys who were making t-shirts, I was way up ahead of you. I came to a place where I designed t-shirts, and I thought, if I don't get support, I could go into silk screening business. So the thing about if you do everything wholeheartedly, you will increase in your skills in some degree. Maybe not most excellently, but... I didn't know my gifts until 30 because I did a little bit of everything. I was just thinking of myself as I'm a jack of all trade, but master of none. You know, I just did everything. And so not until when I have served with the Navigators for 10 years and we're about to decentralize in the Navigators. our local region met together and had some sharing about our visions and our hopes. And each staff went around sharing their hopes and vision, and then other staff kind of affirmed them of their gifts, you know? And my turn came, and I shared all kinds of vision of what God's giving me, an excitement heart for what I want to do. It's basically what I'm doing, what I've been doing was my vision. And each staff going around said, "Man, you're an apostle. You're an apostle. You're an apostle." "Oh, I am? I'm an apostle? Oh, is that my gift?" So I was affirmed by my own staff team what my gift was, and that was really affirming to me. So normally, you don't have to wait until 30, by the way. You could already ask people around, what do you think? How do you think I'm gifted? You know, they'll tell you. And, okay, the third thing is, focus on the fruit of the Spirit more than gifts of the Spirit. Never overly emphasize, I'm gifted this way and I'm going to serve this way. Don't overemphasize your gifts. Because gifts are some abilities God gives spiritually. You got some natural gifts. But more important than that is being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace. You know, behind these windows right here, I wrote on the side, love, joy, and peace. And I think each of these are a window, six of windows, 9 fruit of the Spirit here. I wrote down other 6 fruit right there. What is it? Love, joy, and peace. What else? Patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. What is it? Gentleness, self-control. So these fruit of the Holy Spirit should be more emphasized and be more, we should be committed to grow in that. Along with the discerning of my gifts and then trying to apply my gifts. So, but if you apply the fruit of the Spirit, I believe your gifts will surface too. So I want to encourage us to focus on the fruit of the Spirit over gifts of the Spirit. Not that the gift of the Spirit is not important, of course, it's important. But emphasize the filling of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Next, wisdom for the road is focus on becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That means just focus on being mature and being conformed to the image of Christ. Gifts are important, but being mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ, becoming Christ-like, is a spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is another whole different aspect to gifts. In fact, because of the maturity or lack thereof may be how we use our gifts. So we need to be judge ourselves soberly in our spiritual maturity. And there's much to grow. You know, that's the whole thing of discipleship. We want to usher people to a intimate relationship with Jesus. We want to usher people to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to usher people to the lordship of Christ, to be surrendered to the lordship of Christ. But people are in a different place. So rather than just focusing on gifts, we need to be focusing on the fruit of the Spirit and also being mature in Christ, being mature in Christ. So that's an area that we need to see. So how, you know, I've been a Christian for so long, but, you know, how am I doing in my relationship with him? How am I doing in being conformed to his image? How am I doing in being filled with the Spirit? You know, these are spiritual maturity that we might need to kind of be soberly judging and not overly judging ourselves, you know, nor even under judging, but not over judging ourselves, saying, I am at this place spiritually mature when I'm still needing to grow in certain areas. But if we think we're mature and we, you know, erroneously kind of assess ourselves, sometimes we might be over-talking and over-assessing, over going beyond where we are. But one thing for sure, if you recognize you have a gift, just use it wholeheartedly for God. But also realize where you are spiritually. Yeah, I guess that's what I said right here. Okay, number four is, all three came together. I already finished four? I think I have another one. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, fifth one. My number here is off. Fifth one is exercise your gift, but also imitate other gifted people. This is really crucial. Why would God send apostle, prophet, evangelist, you know, what else was there? Pastor, teacher, right? Why would God place them above us? Is so that you might not have an apostle gift, you might not have a prophet gift, but if an apostle is teaching you, if there is some strength about that, that's something to imitate. It's not to say, okay, he has that gift, but I don't have the gift, so I don't have to imitate. That's not true. And in fact, within the body of Christ, if somebody has a gift of service, oh, I'm into myself. I'm not a gift of service kind of guy. Let Bing Chin serve. Hey, no, when Bing Chin is serving, my goodness, I've been a Christian for this long, and I'm not doing what Bing Chin is. Bing Chin is so, like, you know, selfless and serving. I should try to do that. Doesn't matter if you've been an older Christian or not. If you see something like Christ-like, you want to imitate that. Does that make sense? So never, you know, limit yourself to your what you think you're good at. And that would be a mistake. Because you will not be growing beyond what you think you have. Exercise your gift wholeheartedly so you can grow in your gift. But when you see other people doing their, you know, their giftedness, you need to look at that and say, oh, I want to imitate that. I want to. Can anybody imitate service? Can somebody imitate mercy or gift of help? I think that's another way to put it. The service. And as I told my staff in the past, the navigators in the past, Dawson Trotman was the apostle. But after Dawson Trotman, there was not too many apostles. Even Lawrence Annie was a teacher pastor. But one thing about what Dawson Trotman did was he trained his first generation to be like an apostle. Not everybody was an apostle, but he trained the first generation like an apostle. Even though they were not gifted that way, they all imitated some of the things Dawson Trotman did. Because of their reaping from Dawson Trotman, I believe the ministry just expanded. And Lawrence Sanney, not only did he learn know how to be an apostle, but he also was a pastor teacher. So when he came to be the national director, actually the navigator just kind of like expanded like a popcorn. Through Dawson Trotman, it grew, but then through Lawrence Annie, with additional gift of Lawrence Annie, boom, it expanded. Ed, you've been reading some of the history. Did you notice that? So you can have a certain gift. If you reap something from me, my giftedness, I think it might contribute to your life or your ministry. So don't limit yourself to your gift. What gifts is God bringing around me? Not only me, but, you know, just brothers and sisters around you. So learn from them. Imitate them. And you will increase your capacity to be able to serve people. You know, serve the and bless the body of Christ. And so, imitate. The sixth thing is appreciate and value the lesser prominent visible gifts. Don't compare nor be jealous. Celebrate all gifts and even potential gifts. So actually, I think it says it in 1 Corinthians, right? Is it in 1 Corinthians 13? Oh, no, 1 Corinthians 12, 21. Let's change that. 1 Corinthians 12, 21. Let's have, who has the microphone in front of them? Okay, Juan, you could read 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 26. Yes. So this speaks to a lesser prominent visible gifts, right? In fact, it says, and on the parts of the body that in verse 23, that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. Or our unpresentable parts are treated with greater treated with greater modesty. So the point is, what we see as a lesser gifted, maybe behind the scene, not very visible, is saying that we need to give them greater honor. And our ministry and myself might be guilty of perhaps not doing this more, but in my heart, I appreciate every one of the gifts, but I think we could have done better, probably honoring a less prominent gifts. So I want to apologize to you guys if I have done that in any way. I don't think I did it intentionally, but in unintentional way, because we are very goal-oriented ministry in a way. So, but we want to say to you, with people who may not be in prominent roles, but if you are using your gifts behind the scene, we appreciate you and you are to be honored because God has gifted you that way and God has placed you in that place for mutual benefit. So, sixthly, appreciating and valuing the lesser and prominent visible gifts and less visible gifts. So I actually gave somebody a homework this week to maybe consider how we could do that better. So I gave you all a homework to see how can we honor a less visible, you know, less kind of like, you know, maybe we might consider them at least not the prominent leadership gift. And who may not have been around for as long either. So we want to appreciate. I think we are okay in welcoming and appreciating new people or young people. And I think in general sense we do. I'm not sure if we have appreciated their gifts. I'm not sure we talked much about gifts of young people. So I think generally appreciating them, young people and new people, is a good thing. Okay, lastly, seventh is honor and respect God-ordained leadership. Ordained gifts and offices for the leadership of the church. Okay, you changed it. Jeremy said it better. I said it less better. So, honor and respect God-ordained gifts and offices for the leadership of the church. And so, you know, that's what it says. Jesus is the one who ordained the leadership gift, apostleship, prophet, and evangelist, teacher, and pastor. This is something God ordained. So, for the church. So it's a prominent gift. It's a more responsible gift. It's a mature gift. You know, new Christians cannot be in this place, but God places people who have proven character into these roles. So this is both gifts and office. The five gifts it's a gift. I mean, there's no gift of apostleship with big A is gone. The 12 disciple who is considered the big A apostle. That, you know, whole apostles are done with the first 12 and Apostle Paul. But there's a little A apostle gift that still continue on, I believe. And some people may have different opinion about this, but I believe that there is a little A apostle gift, which exists all these years. It's through those people, like Hudson Taylor was an apostle, gifted guy. And, you know, Dawson Trotman, even Bill Bright, you know, and I think what would Billy Graham fall into? Evangelist prophet. You know, I heard Billy Graham's message in the year I was born. 1957, they had a Navigator conference, 1957, December 30th, and I heard his message. Oh my goodness, he was a fire and brimstone. He was a prophet. He's not an evangelist at that point. He's just like prophet, you know, bringing the word of God and rebuking people to submit to the lordship of Christ. It was just kind of, his voice was shaking. You know, he was definitely a prophet. So God appoints these people, but God appointed them to lead the church. And so we need to honor and respect God-ordained leadership. And Romans 1:5, I was meditating recently, it says, Paul says, I've been appointed an apostle to bring about obedience of faith. So the purpose of him being appointed apostle is to bring obedience of faith to the church and to all nations. So the role of the church leadership is to bring about obedience of faith. Obedience of faith for the church and also for the world. To bring about obedience. And so they have a job to do. And so Hebrews 13:17 said, submit to your leaders. Submit to your leaders. Let's see. I should have memorized this, but go ahead, Ed. You can read that one.
Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, that they can do this with joy and not with grief.
So they could do their work with joy and not with grief, because it would be unprofitable for us. So God brought the leadership gifts and offices so that it would be profitable for the church. So in our response, you know, we want to honor, respect, and submit to leaders so that they can do their job, you know, well. And you could pray for them. You could pray for them that they would do the job well as well, you know. So there it is. I finished. What's the time looking like? Good. Is it good? Oh, amazing. Praise the Lord. So this is a perspective that I always enjoyed. You know, that's why when I got this as a question in my ordination question, I just went, wrote a whole page, several pages on this. But the thing that I just want to end with is, again, God appointed these leadership gifts and leadership role to equip the church, equip the saints. And so let us be equipped together to accomplish his calling, and let us use our gifts wholeheartedly in the church so that the body will be built up. The church will be built up inwardly, but it would be expanded as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your teaching. Bring clarity as to why you appointed these giftedness and office in the church so that the saints, every believer in the church, would be equipped for your high calling using your gifts that you have dispensed among your people. And so, Lord God, would you help us to ponder how we may, Lord, just be faithful and be responsible in the way that you have gifted us so that the body will benefit and we will benefit and the church will be built up. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.